I couldn't tell whether it was a man or woman. However, it wasn't as if this person was more important than the others, they were just leading the prayer. People were praying in whatever position felt most comfortable to them, standing, sitting on the ground, or lying down, and everyone seemed to me to be praying with their heart and soul. They were all fully engrossed in their prayer, and enjoying it. The place felt so peaceful and looked so bright, almost as if a light was shining from the earth underneath them. The people looked brighter than anyone I have ever seen before. Everyone looked perfect, full of life and vibrancy, even the very elderly, and no one there seemed disabled or sick in any way. From my high vantage point, I could see a circle of light around the huge gathering of people. Outside this circle, I could see rolling green hills and trees. Again, everything looked so much more alive and vibrant than it does in our world today. The vision faded, and I found myself back at my kitchen table with Angel Michael. I would have loved to stay there. Can I not go back? I asked Angel Michael. He smiled and shook his head. I continued, that was like a little glimpse of heaven, but I know it was the earth, not heaven. Angel Michael replied, that is humanity's future, if it chooses it. If it makes the right decisions and grows spiritually. We all have a part to play, in the spiritual evolution of humanity. The angel Hope appeared briefly beside me, filling me with hope for this wonderful future for humanity and giving me the courage and strength to know that we can make the right decisions to build this amazing world. Appendix I, a message of hope for America. I was walking with my daughter in the Phoenix Park in Dublin, a very large and beautiful park with wild deer, a zoo, and the residences of both the Irish president and the American ambassador when I saw an American gathering angel. The angel walked out from a wooded area and stood beside a family who was enjoying the good weather. I could see the light of the guardian angels behind the parents and their four children. The two younger children who were about 6 and 8 were playing with the dog, throwing it a ball, and angels were playing with them. The two older children were around 13 and 15, and as I watched, the American gathering angel stood nearby, as if it was guarding them. As soon as I saw this angel, I knew exactly what sort of angel he was. American gathering angels look very distinctive. They are different from other angels. This angel gave a masculine appearance and seemed very strong. He was taller than the guardian angels and dressed, as all American gathering angels are, in armor that covered his whole body right down to his feet. The armor was silver and it reflected the light. It looked as though nothing could penetrate it, yet it flowed as the angel moved. On his chest was what I can only describe as a crest. I have never understood exactly what it is. I do sometimes see wings on American gathering angels, but this angel showed none. The angel had very dark, shoulder-length hair that was a little wavy and encircled by an inch-thick headband made of the same material as his armor. The headband disappeared under his hair. The angel had a look of such gentleness and kindness on his face. I was some distance away, but I could see the angel and the family clearly. As a mother, I felt sad knowing that it meant that these two teenagers were likely to leave Ireland to live in the United States of America. As I walked along some distance from the family, the angel spoke to me without words. He reassured me that there was no hurry and that it would be some years before the young people were likely to go to America. I also knew that the teenagers would have the free will to decide whether to go. Some people never leave or choose to go to another country instead. American gathering angels are a powerful force of angels that have been created by God for gathering people and bringing them to America. America has a special role in the future of humanity. This is why America has these special angels. No other country or place has gathering angels. I don't know exactly when God created them, but I believe they were at work long before Christopher Columbus arrived in America. Unlike most angels, American gathering angels stay on Earth permanently. After they have delivered someone safely to America, they will go elsewhere to gather somebody else. Guardian angels only guard one person for eternity, but American gathering angels gather many, sometimes gathering more than one at the same time. I saw my first American gathering angel near my home in Dublin when I was about 6. I saw them over the years in Ireland, but now that I travel I see them in every country. I don't ever see them in great abundance though. In Finland I recently watched several American gathering angels surrounding a family, preparing them to move to the States. Over the course of a week on a recent visit to New York I saw perhaps a dozen American gathering angels. They were with people of all races and ages. I wasn't clear if these were people who had just moved to America, or if they were tourists who would later decide to move to America. Most people in America, though, even recent arrivals, don't have American gathering angels with them. So I know that they don't stay with a person very long after they have arrived in the country. The American people have been gathered together from all around the world, from all nationalities and religions. By marrying each other and mixing together in communities they have formed what is, essentially, the beginning of a new race. I don't know why any individual is gathered by the American gathering angels. I have been told that being gathered doesn't mean that an individual is superior or better than those whom are left behind. All I have been told is that those who are gathered are meant to be a part of the mix of this new race. Native Americans are, of course, also a part of this mix. God already put them here and they possess a uniqueness that is integral to this race. You as an American have been gathered. No matter whether your family came to America many generations ago, whether they came under difficult or horrendous circumstances, or whether you have just arrived, you have a role to play in making this a better world. Despite how small you may think your role is, it is important. Each time I come to America I feel how different it is from the rest of the world. It's as though America is more vibrant and alive. The atmosphere feels very different, as if it's tingling and vibrating faster. This difference is rooted in the American people. They seem to be more energized, as if they have a stronger desire to live life to the fullest. God and the angels tell me that Americans are more open spiritually than other nationalities, that they listen more and are more responsive. I am told that they are less afraid of the spiritual side of themselves, and of those around them. America is the gateway to mankind's future. I have been shown that this new race will lead the evolution of humanity. America has a critical role to play, a role that it is not yet playing fully. America is meant to have influence in the world, but it needs to earn the respect of the world by doing the right thing. At the moment, America is not doing the right thing often enough. It is squandering and abusing its power. America's influence is supposed to be for good, a force for global peace, but too often it's tainted by interests having to do with oil, power, or money. Within America, a society has been created that, too frequently, is deeply unequal and unjust. This is about world peace, not about American dominance. America has a vital role to play in creating a peaceful world. But to play this role, America needs to care about the rest of the world, not just its own patch of land. America must show its true character and play the role it is called upon in spreading peace, democracy, freedom, and justice. When America does this, it will earn the respect needed to influence and lead the rest of the world, and this will speed up the process of evolution, which will make our world a better place. Doing the right thing will take tremendous courage from America's leaders. It involves vision. It involves taking risks that more cautious advisors might warn against. It involves leaders putting their, and others, fears aside and not allowing money and power to cloud their decision making. At the moment, many Americans are worried about money, about keeping or finding a job, about keeping a roof over their head, and about putting food on the table. I know that these worries sometimes make people feel that immigration into America should be stopped and that the country should concentrate all its energy internally, to solve its own problems. I am told that this process of economic improvement has started, but that the economy will only reach its full potential if America keeps its borders open and takes its rightful place as an influence for good in the world. I have been shown that America will rise from this economic decline. I have been shown a growing economy that is solid and not based on greed and false promises. an economy where most are employed and earn a decent wage, where the obscene inequalities of wealth that exist currently are considerably lessened. As the Imam recently began interviewing me in St. Bartholomew's Episcopal Church on New York's Park Avenue, four beautiful enormous angels appeared beside the aisle, two at the front and two at the back. The angels were standing inside the pews, on the seats, even though every seat was taken in the packed chapel. The angels were bright gold. It appeared as if they were made of real, solid gold reflecting bright sunlight. They were very tall with exquisite, narrow wings that seemed to stretch up as if the roof of the chapel wasn't there. The wings were so fine that I found myself asking if an angel's wing could break. I was told no, of course. In their left hands the angels each carried a tall, golden staff. I watched one of the angels raise its right hand slowly, as the other three did the same. At chest height, the angel held out its hand, palm up, and from the palm came a very fine veil that moved up into the air to form a canopy over the people. The canopy was incredibly fine and a very bright white. When we prayed together, the veil billowed gently. This was an interfaith event where I, an Irish Catholic, had been invited to be interviewed about God and the angels by an American Muslim imam, in an Episcopalian church with a response by an African American Baptist. The interfaith dimension was heightened by the presence of Americans of different religions in the audience, including Jews, Buddhists, Hindus, Christians, and Muslims. The chapel was packed with angels and there was great joy and celebration among them at this wonderful gathering of different faiths. The angels told me that everyone under the veil was chosen to be there, had listened, and had come. I was so excited, it was as if my soul were leaping. I'm not quite sure how I held myself together. The angels told me that the people had come with an open heart and had dropped their defensive barriers. They had come to listen, to pray, and to celebrate, and not to justify their own religion or to claim that it was superior. They didn't come hoping to convert others to their beliefs, they came together with pure hearts to praise God and talk about Him. I have done other events in other parts of the world that, in many ways, looked similar, but the angels have told me that they were, in fact, quite different. They said that at these other events many of the people came as representatives of their religion, and that they came in part to justify their religion, or even to convert. Most had an agenda, rather than a wish to simply join or pray together. America is different. People of all religions have been gathered to America from all over the world. The founding fathers came here wishing to create a new world, a world where people were free, free to live in equality and justice, and free to practice their religion. The angels have told me that the world the founding fathers were meant to create was one with freedom of religion, where different religions were practiced side by side, and with communities that intermingled. This vision was not realized though. They didn't listen fully. Yes, people were largely free to practice their religion, but religions and communities remained segregated. Instead of a world where religions were practiced side by side, walls were built between different religions. These walls between religions had the effect of separating neighbors, and over time people from different religions started to fear and compete with one another. At the same time, religions splintered and fragmented into smaller groups that sometimes competed with one another. There should be no competing for God. I have been told that each and every place of prayer should open its doors to all, everyone should be welcome to pray in every holy place, and all faiths should help those in need, regardless of their religion. Religion should have nothing to do with ego, and places of worship should not be about power or money. Religious groups need to stop wanting to convert people. The biggest challenge for religion is to put an end to people thinking that their religious group is better than any other. We need to start to pray together. I have been told that praying together is the cornerstone of creating a peaceful world. For far too long, religious differences have been a cause of discord and war. Ordinary Americans praying together will allow people of different religions to get to know and understand each other. It will help them to lose their fear of one another, to see just how much they have in common, and to become friends. people from different faiths praying together should not just happen once in a while or as a special occasion. This should be a normal and routine part of people's lives, in addition to praying with one's own religious group. I have been told that the first place that big numbers of people of different religions will start praying together regularly is America. This is one of the reasons that the American Gathering Angels have been bringing people of all religions to this country. It is a part of America's destiny to help bring all religions together. America will serve as a role model, a beacon of help for the world. From America, this form of praying together will spread across the world, helping to unify peoples and to build world peace. After hours on a train, we finally arrived in Washington. We were going to meet someone at Georgetown University. I waited outside the ladies' room in Union Station with the luggage while Jean, my friend and agent, went in. The train station was packed with people, all with the light of their guardian angels behind them. Lots of other angels were there as well. There were several angels with me, including Angel Hosus. Two identical twin girls who looked about 6 years old walked past with their parents, and as they did, their guardian angels opened up. One gave a male appearance, the other didn't give a male or female appearance. What they did have in common, though, was pure unconditional love for the child they were guarding. The light of the guardian angel behind an elderly lady opened up and, at the same moment, another angel appeared beside the elderly lady, whispering to her as she made her way through the crowd. I knew the elderly lady's guardian angel had called in another angel to help to give her confidence as she traveled. Her guardian angel told me that she was worried about finding a seat on the train. I knew that her guardian angel and the other angel would do their best to ensure she did. If necessary, they would whisper to someone to soften their heart and offer the lady their own seat. Angel Hosus told me to look out for somebody, but I didn't yet know whom. I watched as a young boy stepped off the escalator in front of me. There were lots of people around, but no one blocked my vision, so I could see him perfectly just a short distance away. I knew immediately that this is who I had been told to look out for. The boy was about 11, an African American, tidily dressed in jeans and a dark t-shirt, with neat and slightly long hair. He was on his own but strode confidently. Everything about him seemed to be special and full of life. Charisma seemed to flow from him. I was surprised that others weren't stopping to look at him as well. I was almost overwhelmed by the energy I could see around him. I have never seen anyone with such a vibrant, deep, and beautiful sapphire blue color surrounding them. The beautiful energy was wide, and within it were sparks of light like twinkling stars. It stretched out until it seemed to be touching his guardian angel, who was towering over him. His guardian angel gave male appearance of enormous power and strength. He was dressed in armor, but he moved along with the young boy with love and tenderness. As the guardian angel turned to smile at me, everything seemed to slow down, and while I watched the boy, I could hear Hosus whispering to me. He explained that this young boy was very spiritual, full of love, and that he was already very aware of the world around him. He told me that he had been given a great abundance of gifts by God and that he was extremely ambitious. He had the potential, if he made the right decisions, to be a great leader in whatever field he chose. But Hosus also explained that this young boy had free will as we all do and that he might make wrong decisions. He told me that God was putting people into his life to positively influence him and help guide him. Hosus told me that I should pray for him every day. I watched as lines of angels started to follow the boy, and then everything seemed to speed up again, back to normal. Jean came and joined me, and I turned away from the boy briefly. When I looked back in his direction, he was gone. I was disappointed, as I would have loved to have had another glimpse of him. This boy filled me with hope. He has the potential to do wonderful things and have a significant positive impact on America. I pray for him every day, and the angels have told me that I will be allowed to see him again. I was recently staying on the 24th floor of a hotel in Times Square. I loved looking out the window and watching the hustle and bustle below me, watching the guardian angels behind every person and the other angels mingling among them. While peering out the window, one of the angels said, Don't keep looking down, Lorna. So I looked out across the skyline. There, moving through the streets as if he were a giant, I saw the Angel of Hope. I could only see his head and shoulders over the skyscrapers, and in his hand he held aloft that enormous torch with an incredibly bright flame. As always, it appeared to be a flame within a flame. As he slowly moved forward, I could see him turning constantly and beckoning. And as he beckoned, he seemed to bend down toward people. His face was filled with love and compassion. I watched for about 10 minutes as he walked, zigzagging through the streets and heading away from Times Square. I don't know how the Angel of Hope can be so gigantic and move through the streets without interfering with or disturbing people or buildings, but yet he can. There are so many things about how angels show themselves to me that I don't understand. Whenever I see the Angel of Hope, he is usually beckoning to an individual or to a small group of people. The angels with me that day told me that he was beckoning to everyone in New York, from the people who think they are very important, to the homeless man asleep by the subway entrance. He was moving among people, beckoning to them to kindle hope within everyone in the city. The angels told me the Angel of Hope was there because so many Americans have lost hope. Many Americans, like so many others in the world, are struggling to make ends meet and are finding it hard to see a hopeful future for themselves and their families. The Angel of Hope was there to kindle the light of hope within them, to get them to start to living life fully again, to get them to see that hope is there and there is so much. I was overwhelmed and delighted to see him there, giving such a massive demonstration of hope. I had no expectation of seeing him, and I believe that everyone in New York on that day felt at least a little spark of his hope. Although I saw the Angel of Hope in Manhattan, I know that this rekindling of hope was for all of America. I was shown it so as I could tell you about it. The angels tell me that the Angel of Hope has traveled, and continues to travel throughout America spreading hope. Appendix 2, Prayers from A Message of Hope from the Angels. These are all prayers that God gave His angels to give me. God has given me permission to share them with you and your loved ones. A prayer of thanks. Thank you for all the blessings you have bestowed upon me, my God. The blessing of having a soul, that speck of your light. The blessing of the gift of my guardian angel for eternity, that never leaves me even for 1 second. The blessing of the peace and love that dwells in me, the blessing of the family you have given me, the blessing of those you send into my life for companionship, the blessing of living in harmony with those around me, the blessing of my labor, my work, the blessings of all the material things I have in my life, big and small, the blessings of this wonderful world and the nature around me. Thank you, my God, for all the things I forget to thank you for. And most of all, thank you, my God, for continuing to bless my life. Amen. Prayer of thy healing angels that is carried from God by Michael, thy archangel, pour out, thy healing angels, thy heavenly host upon me, and upon those that I love. Let me feel the beam of thy healing angels upon me, the light of your healing hands. I will let thy healing begin, whatever way God grants it. Amen. A prayer for joy in my life. Please God, take this cloud of darkness away. Shine your light upon me. Send your angels to help me. Give me the courage and strength to start to feel the joy in my life again. Amen. A prayer for hard times. God, pour the grace of help upon me and allow me always to see the light of help burning brightly in front of me. Light up the darkness by filling me with faith and hope and allowing me to receive the comfort of your love. Give me the courage and strength to know that I will get through these hard times. Fill me with the joy and trust of knowing that I am your child and that you will care for me and those I love. Hear my prayer. Amen. Prayer for forgiveness and peace of mind. God, please forgive me for all my imperfections, for all the wrong I have done. Give me the grace to forgive those that have hurt me. Amen. Prayer for forgiveness for those who have hurt me. Dear God, please forgive those that have hurt me because I forgive them. Amen. About Lorna. Born in Ireland, Lorna Byrne has been seeing angels since she was a baby. She sees them physically, as clearly as the rest of us see someone standing in front of us. Lorna has continued seeing and talking with angels throughout her life and says, "They were my teachers, my friends, and they still are today." When she was growing up, Lorna was told by the angels not to tell anyone what she saw. She didn't until she wrote the book Angels in My Hair in 2008. Angels in My Hair is now an international bestseller, translated into 26 languages and published in more than 50 countries. A Message of Hope from the Angels is Lorna's third book and is a Sunday Times number one bestseller. The overwhelming response of readers to Lorna's message, regardless of religious beliefs, is that she gives them back hope, helping them to realize that no matter how alone they might feel, they have a guardian angel by their side. Contents. 1. A message of hope for these challenging times. 2. You are loved unconditionally. 3. Help is always close at hand. 4. Parenting is the most important job in the world. 5. Prayer can move mountains. 6. We all have the grace of healing within us. 7. A light in the darkness. 8. You are meant to live life to the fullest and enjoy it. 9. Angels help the financially stressed. 10. No one dies alone. 11. Angels do play Cupid. 12. You are more than any angel. 13. Love conquers hate. 14. Angels dry our tears. 15. I have been shown wonderful things. Appendix I, A Message of Hope for America. Appendix 2, Prayers from A Message of Hope from the Angels. Acknowledgements. About the author. Also by Lorna Byrne. Angels in My Hair. Stairways to Heaven. The End.